Hello?
Hello, hello, is this Hindi? This is Vladimir Kruskov.
Vladimir, how are you?
Very good, Cindy.
To what do I owe this pleasure?
I'm wanting to talk about something I see very disturbing on the news. Yeah, the Americans, they're up to their tricks again.
What tricks are we up to now, Vladimir?
You are remaking the Big Bang Theory.
Really? How are we doing that?
With the atom smasher.
Oh, yes, that is what we were talking about. But what they're trying to do with that is, if I understood correctly, is to see if we could... I don't think I understood it correctly. but anyway...
You silly girl.
I think we're supposed to try to see if we could get energy to go into another dimension.
You, in America, you is making the Big Bang Theory. You're smashing two atoms together to make a Big Bang, and then there's going to be a black hole in the Earth, and then we're all going to die. Why do you want to do that?
I don't want to.
My interpretation of how we should remake the Big Bang, you have me in the bedroom with Tyra Banks. Then we have a Big Bang. Cindy, do you not read Paris Hilton?
No, I'm what's going on there? I don't know.
You listen now. I'm excitement about this.
Uh-huh.
You know how you love the Paris Hilton? The skinny toothpick with the blonde hair and the wonky eyes. One go one way, one go other way. It's very confusing who she looking at. Anyway, you know that lady?
I do know Paris Hilton, yes.
Her dogs got eaten by coyote.
Is that true? Is that really true?
Yes. Tinkerbell is dead.
Vladimir, that is... tell me it's not true.
Yes. Yes, I have a photo on the internet of her crying.
You're a demon. I don't think I can continue with this conversation. Well, you're going to have to call me again to keep me up to date on the Big Bang Theory, okay?
Of course.
Thank you very much.
I forgive you if you marry me. How about that?
Okay.
Italian is close enough.
I do have some Eastern European, so...
Serbian and the other one. What's the other one? Let me think.
I like it to keep it a secret. Do you know how to say secret in French? Secret.
No.
Secret. I think it's totally wrong. I'm not very good in French. I can only speak two languages.
You can only speak New York.
I only speak New York and Italian. Thank you very much, my darling.
Forget about it.
And I'm a lesbian. I don't like nothing swinging.
Hello, you are listening to show number 39 of The Lesbian Mafia, and I am your host, Sandy. Hi, hello. Hi there, how are you guys? It's been a few weeks. I know the last show was kind of a jip, but I figured I made up for it with all the F-bombs, you know. Yeah, or maybe not. You know, I like to think certain things, so I pretend. Sometimes I pretend. You know. What is happening? I got an email asking me what I have against Aries women, which, the answer to that would be absolutely nothing. I'm an Aries woman, but I do know that when people ask me what sign I am and I say Aries, they look at me like I have five heads. I don't think we have a very good reputation. And... that and the fact that two Aries women ripped my heart out of my chest during my lifetime. So I'm a little scared of Aries. I'm very attracted to Aries women, I must admit. I'm attracted to all women, actually. So let me just move forward because I'm not really making any sense. What else? And, you know, I forgot to bring up that last month something very exciting happened, but I haven't been able to fit it into the show, and that's that... a lovely friend, Carly, got a Lesbian Mafia tattoo. And she told me, you know, she told me ahead of time, I'm going to be getting a tattoo of the Lesbian Mafia on my arm. And so I was like, you know, and of course I was really excited about that. And so I was waiting to see the tattoo. And when I saw it, it was like a lot larger than I expected. I was waiting for like a tattoo. And then like she did it like really badass on the entire inside of her arm. Anyway, and then so a month after that, Teresa, another, got the same tattoo except in a different part of her arm. And again, these women have much larger cojones than I would ever have. But that's very exciting and very wow. So what else? Twitter's moving along nicely. I hardly ever update. I've tried sit on my Facebook, and it just doesn't work for me. I just don't understand it. It's too complicated. It's like MySpace is like simple arithmetic, and Facebook is like calculus to me. It's a lot of work. I can't figure it out. I don't understand sit on my Facebook. I just don't. I don't know if there's anything else. Oh, and I just would like to say that thank you very much for the offers to write for the show. This show is not scripted. I sit down when I feel like an idiot and I say, oh, that's stupid enough for me to talk about. You know, and that's what I do. And I sit down. But this is not scripted. The closest I came to scripted was telling Nicole a couple of weeks ago. I gave her a basic outline of something she could say, but there's nothing scripted about this show. This is pure idiocy. You know, we shoot from the hip here, and which is why a lot of times there will be mistakes and, you know, stupid shit happens because we're not scripted. So I can go back and edit, but who has 5 years to edit every single part of every single show? Not I. So just wanted to put that out there. I could use a real intern. I could use another intern. I feel like Wendy, you know, like bitching about my intern, but I need an intern who is good with graphics because I don't know anything about graphics. But I'm, you know, so I'm just putting that out there too. I feel like I'm on an interview. But what else? Okay, let's talk to some fun people here.
Hi.
So what happened? Hi, Nicole.
My friend was telling me about our cousin, how he's married to his wife for like 5 years. They have two kids, and he's cheating on her, and he brags about it. And then his family turns around and says, oh, yeah, you know, I don't know, maybe he has a sex addiction. Well, like a sex addiction? No, he's disgusting. It's like they try to cover up for it.
Yeah, that's the new thing now. They say they have sex addiction.
Beautiful kids he has.
Yeah. I have an addiction to my dildo when I don't have a girlfriend. And I have an addiction to lesbians. It's horrible. I don't know how to break the habit. I mean, I don't understand sex addiction. What is this sex addiction?
That is the new thing. I think I heard it in Hollywood when Angelina Jolie was dating Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah.
Famous. I think he had the sex addiction.
Oh, him too?
Even, yeah. It's like they fuck up and they want an excuse. They go to therapy with them.
What is that?
It's the woman, first off, is in denial. So that's how they're coping with it. There's no self-esteem. How do you put up with that?
Yeah, right.
Oh?
I've only known about one time that I've been cheated on. And she listens to the show, actually. You bastard! We stayed friends, you know, but whatever. I mean, I've only known about one time. And I mean, there's no reconciliation, not in a relationship sense anyway.
No, there isn't. No, there isn't. I was cheated on. I know I was cheated on, even though I never caught her in the act.
Right.
She should die. she should really die. Because she was a liar, and she was so good at it.
Yeah, soon lesbians are going to start saying that too, that they suffer from sex addiction.
Oh, my tongue just went down there, and
yeah, see,
I don't know,
right.
It was addicted.
Makes absolutely no sense to me. I don't get it. And then there's morons that will take this guy back in the house so that he could do it again. And then maybe next time, you know, he'll bring you something very nice. Maybe he'll bring you a nice present. Like the clap.
The clap.
And then they try to make you feel guilty for leaving them. You're supposed to feel bad.
I never fell into that guilt.
There's nothing easier. There is no easier way to split up. It's like, thank you for making this so freaking easy.
Yeah.
I don't know. God bless people that can forgive their partners. God bless them. I'm not one of them.
I think people, they're less emotional and trying to be more intellectual, even though there's no really intellect in it. But, you know, they try to, we have, you know, a life together. We have a house. We have property to divide. We have this. Like, they don't want to go through the hardship of dividing everything and ending the relationship. To them, it's easier to stay with someone who cheated.
Right, it's cheaper to keep her, right? That's the way they think. Mm-hmm.
Easier. Mm-hmm. It's easier. Because then some people, they know what's up. Then they turn around and they're like, well, you do you, I'll do me. Like, what kind of relationship is that? And then I was talking to this girl the other day. Oh, yeah, well, she cheated on me, and I she did it first. It's like they stick around to get each other back. It's so weird.
Yeah, that's like a little strange. Well, I'll tell you, the time that I was cheated on, I immediately went and engaged, and I didn't wait. I went out, and I had a good time.
You know, don't waste my time.
For that, who needs enemies? You're going to call that person your girlfriend? If you can deceive someone who is supposed to be the primary person in your life, if you can be deceptive in that way, who's to say what else you can do? What else? Who knows that you won't knife? I might be afraid that you might knife me while I'm sleeping if we own a house together. You might put cyanide in my drink. What do I know?
Yeah, it's like God knows what else they lied to you about. You know, then everything. Then you start thinking about back in the relationship, you know, like what was a lie.
At least do what Duchovny does. At least watch porn all day like a weirdo. Maybe some people do have sex addictions, but I think, you know, the majority of this nonsense that we're hearing about, that's no sex addiction. Yeah. That's just, I'm a spoiled brat.
I think it's people, too, who are very spoiled, and they never really had any, you know, consequences.
But, you know, they're saying now that more and more straight women are cheating. I read some study, and it was something like, it was a staggeringly high number. I can't remember what it was. Of the percentage of women that have cheated on their husbands.
And probably because there's no communication, so they're like, fuck you, and they go and cheat.
Yeah, so sex addiction, my ass. Okay, Heidi, hello, how are you, my love?
I'm very well, Sandy. How are you this evening?
I'm doing okay. This is Heidi, the former host of the very popular Chaos Radio show.
Yes.
Which is,
now defunct, yeah.
Why is it no longer?
It was really me. I was totally stressed out. It was usually running through the door just in time to, you know, jump in the chair and throw the headphones on and get on mic. But I'm ready to embark upon a new project, probably a solo type thing. So it'll just be like the Heidi show.
Okay, so we can expect something from you in the coming future. That's very exciting. So I wanted to read you an email that I got today. On MySpace. I just wanted some of your feedback, some of your thoughts.
You're so good.
Where is it? Oh my God, okay, I found it. Okay, so this is how it reads. This is the subject line. For Lesbian Mafia from a hardworking houseboy servant in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Do any of you ever have use for a slave to do your housework for free? I'd scrub your floors, do your dishes, wash your windows, and do any other chores you required. I do excellent work, and I wouldn't need any attention or reward. I can also be used as a chauffeur slave, and I can be used to pay for lunches, dinners, and or drinks. You would not have to socialize with me. I could just wait patiently wherever you'd like until you want me to pay for something. I could even wait outside. If you're not interested but you have any other female friends who might be, please feel free to pass along my offer. I have more pics available, and I have references. Signed, Houseboy.
He has references.
He has references.
Now, right off the bat, when you had Houseboy Slave, I'm thinking, oh, this is a gay boy who listens to your show.
Right, no. He wants to do things. Now, what I'm wondering is, like, is he going to do all this stuff before or after he strangles me and throws me in the East River?
I was thinking, oh, he just wants to sort of skulk around a lesbian's house and, you know, touch himself. Watching things, or just hearing things, or whatever, imagining things, who knows what.
Right.
But,
I don't really have any use for him. I don't have any use for him. I was wondering if you did. I was going to pass it along to you, because he asked me to pass his offer along.
Well, being a mother, I think that's highly inappropriate.
Right. So I guess, so you're not interested.
Plus, I think it would just be annoying to have someone around like that.
Actually, you know, I found it a little tempting, to be honest.
I can see you finding it tempting. I don't know why.
You know, I dated this dominatrix when I was in my 20s, and she had her own, she had a slave who would drive her everywhere and she would abuse him. It was the sickest dynamic. And he would pay the rent. She had like a triplex on Lexington Avenue.
Well, then maybe it's this guy.
It's not him, because I met her slave.
Oh, okay. But it sounds like the same type of thing.
It definitely does.
I would think if someone was going to enter into that sort of relationship, there would also be at least oral sex involved.
Right. I would imagine that he would expect something, but he says that he doesn't want anything and that he wouldn't even hang around when he paid for our dinner and stuff.
We can at least take it that far. And perhaps he'll get some gratification out of that.
Right. And then he'll just kill us and chop us up in 100 pieces. I find something very bizarre and strange about him. I find him to be, I think he's a murderer.
Well, you're getting that murderer vibe from him, obviously, that I'm missing out on, but I haven't seen his pics.
Right, I have to send you his pics. He's not bad looking. I think he's actually very handsome.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'll have to look into this further.
Yeah, maybe, you know.
Either way.
Right, and then we could say goodbye, cruel world. That's right. Now, I wanted to also say, why is it that bisexual women have more of a sense of humor about my bisexual jokes than, let's say, straight women or, you know, anyone else?
You want me to be offended by the joke?
No, I don't.
Are you making fun of bisexual women for lesbians to laugh at?
I may have done a little bit of... you know, maybe from time to time, I may do a little bisexual bashing. I don't know. Do you find
I think I might have heard you do that before.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel yourself getting offended? Or, like, do your hackles...
Are my hackles up or raised? No, you know what it is? I think that I sort of distinguish myself from others, so I see the humor in what you're saying.
That's very interesting. Did you know that there are 15 different types of bisexual women?
Exactly 15? Go with the continuum theory a little bit more. And I'm pretty sure I'm a little bit closer to the gay side.
Really? Do you think so?
A little bit. I'm so extremely attracted to women.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly have had sexual experiences with women purely for the sake of sexual gratification rather than for the sake of turning a man on, which I think a lot of bisexual women who claim to be bisexual are really just doing it to turn a man on.
Right.
And so I'm not in that camp, but I've also had love feelings, romantic love feelings for women.
Oh, you have? I didn't know that. Did I know that?
I don't know. I don't know what you know and what you don't know about me, Sandy.
I don't know if I knew that. I can't remember. I know. I think you may have told me a little something.
I think I may have.
Yeah. So do you think that you could actually hold down a relationship with a woman, or do you think you might bump heads? No pun.
I think with the right woman, I could. But here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure.
Here's the thing. I have a boyfriend.
I don't have a boyfriend.
What happened? What are you talking?
I'm a young single lady now. Swear to God.
Like for real? Like for real single?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
No.
All right.
You just accused me of having a boyfriend and I don't.
Yes, I'm sorry. I know. I shouldn't accuse you of things like that.
No, it's okay.
But all right. I don't know.
Hey, I guess if I didn't tell you straight out, then how would I expect you to know? Because for all that time that you knew me, I did have a boyfriend. But I no longer have a boyfriend.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Isn't that an interesting development?
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that at all? Do you want to move on from that?
We'll move on from that.
Okay. So you are single, and so...
In order for me to have a relationship with a woman, I'm fairly certain that she would need to be a little or a lot less intelligent than I am.
Why is that?
Well, in contrast to how I feel about being in a straight relationship, where with a man, I definitely want him to be able to take care of business.
Right.
With a woman, I feel like if I have the upper hand, then she's going to be more likely to be enamored with me. You know, if I am blowing her away with my intellect and ability to handle situations, then she'll be more likely to want to please me in other ways.
That's brilliant.
Is it?
Why didn't I ever think of that?
I don't know. I know it's this way because those are the girls who I become really, really super like, I've got to have her, and I think I love her. You know what I mean? Like, those are the women who really get me emotionally attached.
When they're a little on the ditzy side.
Yeah, and plus I think it's adorable.
So, an intellectual woman or an intelligent woman is, like, ew. I don't want,
no,
like...
No, it's not unattractive to me. I would never... Of course not. I would never say that. And, you know, I had a crush on my doctor when I was in the hospital. I had abdominal surgery, and I had this beautiful young female doctor, and I was just... I couldn't even speak to her. I was so overcome with attraction every time she came in the room.
Yeah, that happens, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That doctor-patient thing.
Okay, but your preference is just a little more ditzy.
That kind of is, you know, if I break it down, if I'm analyzing myself, I think that's where I'd go with it.
Do you have a particular type? Is there, besides, you know, stupid?
Stupid. The great ass. No. No, I there are, you know, all shapes and sizes.
Mm-hmm.
All good. Preferably not too tall and gawky. It has something to do with my junior high and high school best friend was an extremely tall, thin, gawky girl, and so I think I have a block against being attracted towards women like that.
Well, what if they're like a supermodel and like 5'11"?
Well, supermodel's a whole different category.
Right, right, right. Well, they're generally not very smart.
No.
Emails! Okay, onward moving. See, you have it so much easier than I do. You can basically say anything you want.
The bisexual label? Yeah, anything goes. Exactly.
That's right. So why don't you tell us about your vivid dream life?
Well, that's another thing. Mm-hmm. About this whole my continuum theory where I feel like I'm more towards the gay side.
Mm-hmm.
I have very vivid dreams where I wake up and I'm like, wow, that was really intense. And, you know, I have to, like, sort of shake my head back and forth to, like, shake myself out of the feeling that I had from being in the dream.
Hmm.
So I will have sometimes sexual dreams.
Hmm.
More frequently than not, that's involving a woman, but it's always some imaginary person.
Hmm.
But hot. Really hot.
So you dream about super hot, sexy strangers.
Yeah. Who are not necessarily strangers in the dream. In the dream, it could be somebody who is, you know, a close friend or mm-hmm. someone that I'm in a relationship with, that sort of thing.
And what do your dreams typically look like?
Well, I don't know, typically. The last one I had, I was, you know, I'm one of those people who, I think a lot of people dream like this. The background setting is sort of continually morphing into something else, like a bus is a train, you know, back and forth.
Yeah, 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 I do that,
like
too.
I'm trying to explain it as a bus because it was supposed to be a bus, but really it was more like a train with compartments and...
Yeah, me too. I do the same. Like, sometimes I'll be on a train and then I'll be, like, on a vagina, you know?
Well, exactly.
All right.
So
go ahead.
So we met these two women. We were traveling together, but the one that I was really attracted to, who was, I don't know, I would say, like, mid-20s, slightly olive skin, dark hair.
Nice.
Blender. We sort of reclined into a lounge chair type thing.
Mm-hmm. In the subway?
No, this was like an Amtrak train. Kind
okay.
of thing,
okay.
Like, it's express, I guess.
Right, right. Okay.
And she sort of leaned back into me, and I put my hand down the front of her pants and was, you know, manipulating her, and she had her head turned to me, and so we were having these very, like, sensuous kisses, slow, you know, deep, wet kisses that were really, like, lighting me on fire, and that's when I woke up. And I feel like I've just had this woman's tongue in my mouth.
Well, now, is that right?
Yes. Lots of build-up and excitement.
It's very interesting, these dreams that you have. So do you feel like, oh my God, I'm not finished and I have to do something to finish that, or, you know?
Sometimes it's a little bit unsettling because I feel like I'm trying to tell myself something.
Oh, right.
Like I'm suppressing something. Something's not being attended to that needs to be attended to.
I didn't know stupid girls were so hard to find. I didn't... How could you have...
It's just that I really haven't been available. available.
That's true.
I've had a lot of difficulty with it. In fact, I find that when I go to, say, if I go to, like, over to Fire Island, to Cherry Grove, which is, you know, infamous for the scene.
Yes, on Long Island, right?
Mm-hmm. Or out to, you know, a club anywhere, a gay club.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like I have a big sign on me that says, you know, I don't know, creepy or straight girl. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I really have no game. I really do come off as a very awkward, nerdy person.
Hmm. You think so? You're fucking killing me. What do you mean you have no game? What is this? You
have no game. I really don't. I can't, you know, work it.
So what is it that you get nervous around women or lesbians or bisexual? Is it just any type of woman that makes you nervous?
Very attractive women, probably, I get nervous around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But, you know, there's definitely a difference between me and, like, full-on lesbians.
So you feel like I'm so different from these women, I really don't fit in here?
I don't know if it's, like, I scream straight girl or something. I really don't know what it is. The lesbians don't take me seriously.
Hmm. Do you take lesbians seriously?
Of course.
You do?
Yes, of course.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Why take lesbians seriously?
I don't know. I think maybe that's why lesbians might not take someone who says they're bisexual. They might not take her so seriously because they would probably automatically assume, well, she doesn't take this whole, you know. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can go in and out. Okay, you could stay in your straight, privileged lifestyle, right?
I get it.
And then, or this is the way I see it. I don't want to speak for all lesbians all over the universe, but this is the way I see it. Like, you can stay in your privileged heterosexual lifestyle, and then, you know, when you're horny,
yeah,
you want to, you know, let's say, I'm sounding awful already. I'm sorry.
Okay. I totally get what you're saying.
Do you understand that? does it make sense?
It does, except that in this situation that I'm describing, I don't even let on that I don't even get that far. I don't even get the drink in conversation.
Hmm. I find you very easy to conversate with and very open-minded, and I don't know why you would have a... I don't know.
I think I'm just going to the wrong bars.
Yeah, you know where I think you would do really well online?
Mm.
So that you could get into each other's head first, and then...
Right.
So by the time you met them. I think what you describe isn't all that unusual to most people. Kind of like a insecurity? Insecurity.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. You know what else I'll say? And this is a little, you know, something I hadn't really occurred to me before. I get, you know, like MySpace messages or whatever from girls who, like, have their status is married but bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I had something in a bulletin about, you know, waking up from a lesbian dream, and oh, I got like MySpace messages from these women being like, "This one woman in particular. Do I care to elaborate to her?" And I thought, certainly not.
No. Not so much.
No, and it's not that she's unattractive, but
right,
married and bisexual, and I'm simply not interested in that.
Right.
In fact, I think I'm probably not interested in other bisexual women because I don't really take them seriously either.
Yeah, but remember, there's 15 different types of bisexual women.
I guess. And you need to elaborate on that, I think.
Wait, let me find it, because then maybe you could say, hey, that's me. And then when you know which one you are, then you could more easily know what you want. And then when you know what you want, it would probably be easier to find, right? Isn't that brilliant?
You really are.
Okay, wait, I'm looking for it. Okay, 15. Okay, maybe it'll come up for me. What is bisexuality? Have you ever read on like bisexuality? Have you ever read up on it?
Not really, no.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. 13. Okay, here we go. I found 13.
Okay.
Did you know there are 13 different types of bisexuality? No, neither did I. But apparently there are 13 ways to pigeonhole us. See, now you bisexuals
that
want your rights.
That sounds like sarcasm to me. I'm a little resentful about being pigeonholed.
According to JR, little bisexuals can be categorized in terms of their sexual desires and experiences and include alternating bisexuals, one relationship at a time, The first might be exclusively straight, the next exclusively gay, and vice versa.
Okay.
Alternating bisexuals are usually monogamous. Do you think you would fall into maybe a similar category?
Yeah, I can see that happening.
Okay. Circumstantial bisexuals. Primarily heterosexual, but bisexual because of circumstances. Example, prison, where there are no women / men available. Do you think you might fall?
No, that's not me.
That's not you. Okay. Concurrent relationship bisexuals. I have a primary relationship with one gender, but may have multiple casual relationships with partners of the other gender.
I've been there, but I don't know if that's the best description for me.
Okay, well, the definition of that is concurrent relationship bisexuals. Just write that down, okay?
I am.
All right. Conditional bisexuals will switch sexuality for personal gain. Example, gay for pay. Would you?
No.
No, you don't fall into that?
That's
okay.
An X. I'm writing them all down, and I'm indicating whether or not I think it's me.
Okay. Emotional bisexuals have intimate emotional relationships with both genders, but only have sex with one gender.
Yeah, no, that's not me either.
Integrated bisexuals have two or more concurrent primary relationships with a man, one with a woman.
No, that's definitely not me.
Okay.
I could never do that to two people. Be like, well, this is my boyfriend and this is my girlfriend. No.
Yeah, that sounds really, wow.
Mm-mm.
I think those are the types that I hate. Okay. All right. Exploratory bisexuals testing the water, seeing if they like it.
Not me.
Hedonistic bisexuals, primarily straight or gay/lesbian, but will switch purely for sexual pleasure. Do you think that you relate to that at all?
That's maybe a 20%.
Okay.
But no, because I said, you know, that it's not primarily for sexual pleasure. I can have an emotional attachment to a woman that I'm having sex with.
Recreational bisexuals buy only when drunk or high. Party
No.
Not a party bisexual? Isolated bisexuals, currently straight or gay/lesbian, but had one off-sexual encounter in the past, which qualifies them as bisexual.
So that's not me.
No, that's not you.
That might be you, but that's not me.
Latent bisexuals has strong yet so far unsatisfied urges to go the other way.
That's sad.
Does that mean that they want to flip their sexuality or?
Yeah, but they're not doing it.
That is sad. I cry.
I'm going to say it's not me.
Okay. Motivational bisexuals will go...
they go around having sex with people to get them to have better lives.
And then they give motivational speeches like Tony Robbins.
Right, exactly.
will go by to satisfy a partner. Example, straight woman agreeing to MFF threesomes.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not, I can respect that, I guess, but, you know, that's certainly not me.
You
can call that bisexual. It's just like fantasy fulfillment.
Transition, okay, this is number 13.
Mm-hmm.
Transitional bisexuals, the only type of bisexuality the gay community understands, going through a phase.
Well, let's see, 17-year phase?
That's a long phase.
I don't think that's a phase.
No. Okay, so
okay,
she...
Okay, let's review. First of all, I think I need two more options, but...
Right, I got your hopes up.
Going back over these 13, there's an awful lot of X's, Sandy, but I've got two question marks and a sort of a dash. Okay, a question mark on alternating.
Okay.
A question mark on concurrent, the third.
Mm-hmm.
And like I mentioned, that I'm maybe 20% the hedonistic type.
Right.
Which I just like the sound of that, really.
I can see why you would, why you pick those answers. However, the writer of this blog disagrees.
I thought you were going to say whatever the correct answer is.
What she says is, least that bisexuality is according to J.R. Little... I'm going to mess the theory up in typical bisexual fashion by refusing to fit neatly into any of those 13 categories.
Good for her.
She's very angry. I feel very guilty as I read that.
You feel guilty? Oh, because you're guilty of making her feel angry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she knows who I am, though.
No, I'm sure she doesn't. Oh, although she may. You have gotten press.
Okay, so you're 3 for 13.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There's hope for you.
I I knew you were going to say that. Something told me.
But you like boys. You like them.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I won't deny that. I certainly can't.
Yeah, so that's, I guess that's simply is just a bisexual sexuality.
But I don't think the fact that I like boys would prevent me from having a devoted monogamous relationship to a woman.
You don't think that, let's say, you would hook up with a woman who fell madly in love with you and she tried to do everything she possibly could for you, and then you're living together for, whatever, 3 years, you're having amazing sex, and then the last 2 years of that relationship are maybe not all that exciting, and then you start hearing about all this bullshit lesbian lifestyle, you get lumped into this kind of prejudice, and you don't know anything about this prejudice, and then you don't think that it would be attractive to just be with a man again and just have it easy? And
I see the angle that you're coming from. I think my biggest difficulty would probably be feeling the guilt from my family, although I think that my mother would find it hard to believe mm-hmm. that I was actually gay and not just doing something to hurt her. But she'd always suspected my inclination and had accused me as a teenager of being a lesbian. And when every time a relationship would end, she would beg me, just please don't give up on men.
Oh, wow. So do you think that you listened to her or that you...
Oh, no. God forbid, listen to my mother.
So maybe you're not really bisexual. You just really do want to irritate your mother. I don't even think that I'm really gay. I think I want to irritate my mother.
Because there are people out there who do that, but I'm not one of them. Well, she's been very supportive of my gay cousins, so I can only hope that you would not completely turn her back on me.
Yeah, when it's your own.
I think more than society in general, because I have such close gay friends and gay friends who have been...
Yes, yes.
You know, just people who came out when they were teenagers and feel really strongly about it and being true to themselves and raving the world against them, I guess.
Mm.
I see that. And I mean, it's sort of as saying that I've got that pass card, you know, where I can just easily walk back into my socially acceptable straight life.
Right.
I can see where there would be some resentment there, but I think I get it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't have that. I can't really do that. I mean, I could technically do it, but I don't really have the choice to just say, well, you know what, this is easier. If I can make it with a man, I'll just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you could do that. Maybe I'm jealous.
Perhaps.
Let me just settle with a man, which a lot of bisexual women end up doing because it's a lot harder. Just it's so the prejudice is so woven into society
mm-hmm.
that you don't really realize things. Even people in gay relationships don't even realize how prejudice will affect them 5 years from now in their relationship. Like, you don't know until you come across it.
True.
So I guess it is easier, in a way, to live a straight lifestyle, if you can. But then it isn't. But then I look at my mother and my grandmother, and I would never want to be in those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't very good examples of happy, straight relationships.
I don't have any really good examples of happy long-term relationships, period. So I find it unlikely that I'll ever find someone, man or woman, that I can be happy with long-term. But
I relate to that.
Yeah.
So then we're all equally miserable? Is it true? That?
No, some people are really fucking lucky, but I haven't been that person. So single, yeah. I'm good with single right now.
Yeah, you know, and I'm like, some people, they're like, don't you want to be with someone and live your life with? And I'm like, no, I listen to what goes on with my friends and their relationships. I'm really happy like this for now. I don't have the headaches. I don't have the fights, the jealousy, the bullshit. Fighting really wears me down.
Yes.
I can't do the fighting thing.
I hate the fighting.
What is it about fighting? It's so
It just really saps every ounce of my energy.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to something a little more upbeat, and then we could, So, help me transition. You're good at transitioning.
Oh, I don't know.
Where were we?
When you put me on the spot like that, I'm not...
I'm sorry. Okay, so fighting is... We hate fighting,
mm-hmm.
and we like sex. We like a lot of sex.
Right.
I think that you like a lot of sex.
I really do. Sex is definitely important. You know, then again, there's been some dry years, you know, Sandy.
What does your typical night look like? What does Heidi's day look like?
A typical day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, take today, for instance.
Yeah.
I get up around 6 o'clock a.m. with my 12-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Who, I make her lunch and I get her off on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Today I went right to work.
Okay.
Worked out, watched a little TV, got on the elliptical machine.
Mm-hmm.
Took a shower and waited for you to call.
Right. Well, because I guess you're very busy. I mean, you have a 12-year-old and you work and,
Yeah, and really, to be honest, she's my best friend and, I just have a blast with her. So
Aww. That's
for me also. Shopping,
Yeah, your little girl. She's your best friend.
Yeah, we play video games together and watch movies and TV shows and, touch our toes together and giggle and stuff like that.
That's really sweet. My mother treated me like I was an incubus. Okay, so we can look forward to a show from you soon, right?
Which would be fun, also.
Which would be really fun.
That would be something else fun I could say I do for fun. So I would recommend cutting out the whole typical day of Heidi because there's nothing interesting in any of that.
If you prefer that I do that, I will.
Yeah.
You're very demanding, as we can see here.
Well, I don't know about that, but I know what's funny, and I know what's not funny. And I think you should have me back on again, because I've got lots of things to talk about.
There's no question that you are definitely coming back on again. I need you.
Yay!
We'll talk soon.
Okay, Sandy.
Okay, so Reap from Reap So Radio on Pulse. So how are we doing?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I gave you hell all week, right?
Yeah, because my streaming now.
That's okay.
Your show's never on.
So what did you want to talk to me about?
I was going to tell you about the Super Collider, the particle accelerator.
Oh, okay. What's that about?
It takes particles and it speeds them up to like super speeds, and then they collide them together to see what happens. Like particles, like really small particles. Like atom smasher is what it's called also.
An atom smasher.
Yeah, they're going to collide two particles, and they're trying to force energy to go into other dimensions so that they can prove that there's 11 dimensions of space and time.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, I know, it's kind of weird.
So we supposedly have 10 dimensions?
Yeah, there's supposedly 11 total, one dimension of time, which I think throws a wrench into the time traveling thing, and 10 dimensions of space. That's part of string theory.
Okay. So now they're saying there's 11 dimensions.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, and they're going to try and use this super collider to find out for sure. And the way they're going to do that is they're going to collide two particles together. This is the way I understand it. Total layman's terms. Two particles together, and the energy that's created from that, they're hoping that it will be a strong enough collision that some of the energy will be thrown into other dimensions. So what they're going to do is measure the energy before the collision and then after and see if they lost any.
How does that mean that it went into another dimension?
I don't freaking know. Where else is it going to go?
Well, could it have just...
I went to McDonald's.
But couldn't it have just dissipated? Why does it mean that it went into another dimension?
You can't destroy it. You can't destroy energy.
It would have had to have gone into another dimension.
They're assuming that, yeah.
I disagree. I believe that you can destroy energy because there's a lot of shows that I listen to that completely zap me of any and all energy.
No, that's a draining of energy. There's a difference. And the other thing that people are worried about is that when they collide these particles, it's going to create particles that are not natural, that weren't made by nature.
Oh.
And some of those particles actually will create mini black holes, little tiny black holes.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, the scientists that are doing the experiment are saying, don't worry, these things are going to evaporate really quick because they're not really stable.
Okay.
But then there's the other side that says that when these guys do this, these black holes, they will gravitate towards the center of the Earth and start to grow and eat the Earth from the inside out.
Can you define a black hole for me?
The mass where nothing can escape. Light or energy cannot escape. And I'm not like a scientist or nothing, so...
Right.
Light nor energy can escape. It's got what's called an event horizon, and that's the point where you get close enough to the black hole where nothing can pull you back out of it. asshole is really, really interesting, too. Because
that sounds like my daily state of existence, actually.
Exactly. A lot of people live near or in a black hole, I think.
Right. How does one find a pole? Besides going to your local lesbian bar, how do you find...
I don't know. I think they find...
That was so bad, I may have to omit that.
What? We're just talking science.
Because... and I love science. Okay, so... All right, so a black hole can be anywhere.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you'll just see stuff flying into a black hole, like, and just disappearing?
Yeah. It's like a giant eating machine. It eats everything around it. It just sucks everything into it and makes it into one mass.
That's terrifying.
Almost like recycling machines is almost like what they're like.
Yeah, that's terrifying, actually.
Yeah, it is. Because it's just like a big drain. It's like a big drain in the bathtub. It's just sucking everything. It's like stars.
Or like potholes in Florida. My friend lives in Florida, and she says that like sometimes you could be driving and the road just disappears into nothing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, what do they call that? There's a name for them.
A sinkhole?
Yeah, what is that? Where does it go?
That's because there's like pockets of air underneath, and there's like sometimes there's like here that'll happen because near the bay, There's sandy kind of earth. And when there's an earthquake, it kind of liquefies it.
Oh, my.
So it can't support the weight anymore, and then you'll get a collapse of the ground from above. Starts a sinkhole, and then if you have air pockets and stuff like that, then, yeah, it takes up that space.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you still talk about this stuff, like paranormal stuff?
Yeah. This stuff isn't paranormal, though.
No, it's not paranormal. What is this? Science.
Like, scientific, yeah. This is what I talk about mostly.
Yeah, so I was listening to Pulse Radio Online. That was, it's pretty good stuff. It's on the heavier edge.
Yeah, it is. You can say that. It's your show.
I was like, everybody, come by and listen. It's like really, really sweet music.
Oh, what are you talking about? The radio or the top?
No, the radio.
Oh, the radio? Oh, I don't know. I play, my show's kind of heavy.
Yeah, a lot of it is pretty heavy. I like it, but I didn't know.
And in the daytime, they play a little bit more like techno dance stuff. Yeah.
So who's your favorite? I mean, it's so ridiculous to ask who's your favorite artist. I mean,
are you talking about genres? Or are you talking about artists themselves?
Artists.
Megadeth would be my first one. Yeah.
Really?
I always had like a soft spot for them.
So you're into Megadeth, Dave Mustaine, right?
Dave Mustaine is really. Yeah, he's got a lot of talent, and they've had staying power, you know? Let's see, who would be next? Probably, like, Dream Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're really good. Because they can do a lot of changes, and they do them smooth, and it sounds good. And
yeah, they're very versatile. They could have music that's on Light FM and music that could be on, like, you know, a hard rock station.
That's right. And they've always been that way since the first one, so.
Yeah.
Marilyn Manson would have to be up there, too.
You like Marilyn, huh?
I think he's extremely talented, yeah. He was, in fact, that's probably the best concert I've ever been to.
Here's the thing. Do you have to stand? Because I cannot go to a concert where I have to stand anymore. Like, those days are over. I'm not standing. I'm sorry.
Where you go, you know? Depends on where they're playing at, you know?
Yeah, right. Okay, so that was three. Who else?
Let me think. Flair, definitely. Man, they got staying power, too. They've been around a long time. They get branded as kind of satanic. It's not really... I mean, I'm not going to say they're not about evil and stuff like that, but that's not. They're not preaching it or anything about that. They just kind of sing about it.
Right. And remember then, when being the devil was really in? Remember?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, you know who used to scare the shit out of me? I don't know if I told you or not.
What?
That band Venom?
Oh, Venom, yeah, I know them.
Oh my god, they used to scare the frickin' bejesus out of me.
Yeah, they're satanic.
What is it? Is it just the adrenaline rush? What was it? Why did anybody listen to them?
I think it's because they were like one of the first satanic bands to come out and like be satanic straight out and say, we love Satan, hail Satan. They got a song called Satanicist. That was like one of the first songs. I still remember that because it's not one of my playlists. Yeah, they were just like about Satan. Everything was about Satan and they were proud of it, you know?
Right. Oh, wait, no, I'll tell you. And I'll tell you the second time I should have worn diapers to this concert. when I went to see Merciful Fate.
You went to Merciful Fate?
Oh my god. And King Diamond King. And then he was like cutting up a doll and it was on a cross and it was, but it sounds stupid, but it was horrifying.
You should see, have you ever heard of Gwar?
I've heard of them, but I don't think I've listened to their music.
They're awesome on stage. They like cut off people's arms and legs. They bring President Bush out on stage and cut his head off. Blood squirts out. The lead singer had like this huge penis. They're supposed to be like aliens from another planet. They had this huge penis with like tentacles coming off it and warts and growths and shit.
Ew.
And he swings it around and they have it set up so that he can actually pee on the crowd. It's kind of nasty.
I guess you have to be entertaining now because, I don't know how these artists are selling any CDs. I don't know how it's happening. How are they doing it?
I don't know how they're doing it. Well, you know, I'll buy CDs once in a while. If somebody's good and I want to support them, I'll buy it, you know? But yeah, I don't buy them like I used to. I don't know how they make any money now.
Well, I was more into the buying CD phase years ago. It was like, you know, we would buy the album and listen to the whole album until, you know, for the entire year until they came out with a new album. Now it's like, there's, you know, it's like everything's generated on hits. Like there's a hit off of one. You know, if you look on, like, let's say you look on your daughter's iPod, she'll probably have one song from like 100 different artists.
Yeah, but it's gone full rotation, because it used to be everything came out on 45.
Oh, right. Well, I guess iTunes is the modern version of 45s, then.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Never thought about it like that before, though. It's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, like, how do you get a 15-year-old that has no money, that loves you, and loves your music, and it's available on LimeWire? How do you get them to buy your, like, why? Why? Why would they?
Yeah.
There's absolutely no motivation whatsoever. It's just, it's too easy. It's too easy.
They're not making as much money. They can't be. Or, you know what? Maybe the record company's taking it, because they've been screwing us for so many years. All the CDs that me and you bought, man.
Yeah.
So much money on those.
Hear, hear to that. I remember when, you know, like $20.99, $22 for like 7 songs, and only 2 of them would be good.
Yeah, exactly. And they were totally taking us all that time. It's costing them shit to make those CDs.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I agree with you 100%. And, you know, now it's, how do you say, like the tables are turned now, you know?
Yeah, exactly. The worm turns.
Yes. Yes, the worm turns. So now, I guess it's not fair for the artists, like, you know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's bad for the artists, but I don't feel bad for the record companies in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, no, neither do I. No, and
bands either, you know, like Metallica. Shut up, you know. Hello.
And Don Henley, like, what do you think of Trent Reznor?
Yeah, my girlfriend really got the whole album.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
I think that's interesting. I don't know how it's gonna bid for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
That'd be kind of tough. But there's other bands that are doing that too, where they're releasing. Trent just gets a little more press. That's all.
Yeah, right. Well, I guess it shows that they're at least trying to adapt to what's happening. I mean, you can't stop it. There's no way to stop what's happening.
That's why the Napster thing was really funny. Once that cat's out of the bag, man, you can't put it back in.
Yeah, right. So true. Like, how can you...
Taking a golf ball? You ever take a golf ball and cut it? Take the outside off and cut the rubber band and just, like, let it unwind? Well, that thing will, like... It'll, like, almost explode if you cut it in the right place. That's, like, what happened to the record companies, like, trying to take this rubber band and wrap it back into a golf ball. You know, it's, like, it's not going to happen. Still need to try.
Right, right. Tell me something paranormal before we go.
Tell you something paranormal? Ghosts.
That's
Scooby-Doo. Actually, there's not a whole lot going on. I think there's kind of a change going on to the paranormal where people are kind of getting a little bit of a reality check.
Oh.
Well, I think that a lot of things that they thought were maybe paranormal have explanations for them.
Okay.
Yeah. And not to say that there isn't such a thing, because I ain't that smart.
Mm-hmm.
Or that stuck up to say that.
Right, right.
There's a lot of things you still can't explain, but I think that when you take a picture and you get a circle,
mm-hmm,
light.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think those are spirits.
Mm.
Or ghosts.
Right.
And they're actually reflections of dust particles. And there was a big to-do about the argument between whether those were spirits or not, because people were filming them in graveyards and all kinds of places. But the places you go to look for ghosts typically are dusty.
Mmm.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of talk about the people who are
Like, who does that? Who talks to the dead?
That's Christopher Moon. He talks to the dead through this. It's a radio that scans frequencies, and supposedly he has the power to communicate with the other world through this radio. And he charges $300 an hour. Even if he really could do that, who the hell charges $300? I mean, that's like a gift. That's like a unique gift to have. Why would you charge $300 an hour for people to talk to their dead relatives? That just seems like something's wrong there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like Jesus saying, well, you know, I can let you get in connection with my dad, but it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you, you know, right. A couple of sheep and a goat.
Leprosy's going for $1,500. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, well, you got a couple chicken. No, hit the road. I'm going to take chicken somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. I guess people want to believe stuff, and they're going to believe it just because they want to. And
yeah, I think they need to.
And they need to, and there's people willing to pay to, you know. And who knows, maybe it helps them in some odd way. Hey, look, my cat passed away, and I swear I saw him walking around the house when I was sleeping.
Oh, yeah? Now, right now, my thinking is that a lot of stuff happens in your brain, because your brain is like a really weird machine.
Yeah,
yeah. It can make you see and hear things that are not there, and it does happen a lot.
Yeah, especially when you're half asleep.
Or when you're mourning, you know? When you're mourning, when you're sad.
Oh, right.
You're susceptible to suggestion, and you're susceptible. I mean, that's where a lot of, like, cult people come in.
Mm.
But people who are sad or people who are depressed, they need something to cling on to.
Mm.
Have you ever noticed, like, if you break up with your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever,
mm-hmm.
listen to the radio, and every song seems to have something to do with the problem of your breakup?
Yeah, that's really odd. What do you make of that? Somebody just messaged me about that. What do you make of that?
Your mind does that naturally. It's kind of like, it's called pareidolia or matrixing.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of what's going on with this box, too, because people say they hear voices through the box.
Right.
When your mind has random thoughts going on,
mm-hmm.
tries to make patterns out of random things, like shapes in the clouds, if you watch the snow on the TV. Like, if you hear somebody, like, running a table saw, it almost sound like music, kind of, in the background.
Mm.
Your mind just naturally wants to make sense of things. Like, the string theory kind of plays into that. If you go into string theory and, like, look at the beginning thought of string theory, is that everything works on string vibrating at different frequencies, where everything is kind of has a vibration that runs through everything. I mean, so I think that there's something to that.
So, how do you make someone fall in love with you that doesn't even know you're alive?
let me think. Stalk them.
Stalk them to death.
That's the best advice I could give you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Very good advice.
Sure, no problem. Maybe just some light stalking. Do stalking like a hobby.
We can do stalking like a hobby workshops here.
Stalking as a hobby, 101.
How's the weather in California?
Beautiful. It's always beautiful here.
Yeah, I know. Lucky bastard.
There.
It's getting cold here. Well, I mean, it's nice, but it's getting cold. So everybody loves this time of year, but to me, it's just like, I know there's like impending doom coming. It's going to be freezing in like 3 months. So.
And that must suck.
It really sucks. I don't know how. I don't know how I pull it off every year, freezing my ass off here.
Yeah, I don't know. How you do it either. I mean, shit. It gets 50 degrees here, and I'm whining like a little baby.
Yeah, the Bay Area.
See? Yeah, it's nice here.
What's your favorite thing about San Francisco?
The different types of people who you can see there. Like, I went to a show at, I can't remember, Ellis Slim's. I went to see Symphony X there not too long ago. And it's in the gay part of San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
So, and mainly male homosexual guys.
Okay.
But they're walking down the street, and they've got, like, nothing but, like, leather G-strings on, holding hands. And it's not that you don't see that here. You just don't see it very often in the city that I live in, because I'm, like, outside of San Francisco a little bit.
Right.
But they're walking around, and nobody's saying a word to them. Just walking around, and la, la, la. And then you get this guy with the suit and the tie and his briefcase walking right next to these guys.
Totally unfazed.
Yeah, it just doesn't even faze them at all. You know, and you got all different races and all just, it's just awesome how that many different types of people can live in one city.
Yeah.
And you really don't have that much fun. I mean, you have a problem there, like crime, like normal cities do.
Right, right.
But they're not at each other's throats because this guy's gay, because that guy's Hispanic, because that guy's Chinese or black or whatever. It's just like, you don't have a lot of, well, I go there quite a bit, not every day, though.
All right. How was it for you to see, you know, like, guys walking around the streets in their G-string?
It's kind of cool.
Really? Why? Why?
I'm a poker or nothing like that. I mean, it's just like, it's, I don't know, I just kind of like the people watch. I just think it's interesting.
Yeah, I guess you have to have, like, an open mind and curiosity for people.
Pretty diverse, man. You know what I mean? If you can't accept different types of people, then, yeah, you're pretty much screwed.
You're going to be suffering all the time.
Yeah, you're definitely going to be in the minority, because everybody else is pretty accepting.
I wonder how Savage survives there.
I don't know. Maybe he just stays in the studio all the time.
Right. I mean, I wonder, I'm like, does this guy ever leave his house? Why would you stay in a city that's so blatantly filled with homosexuals? Why would you stay there?
I think his second thing is he needs to be hated. He has a need. He needs attention.
I never thought of that.
Yeah, he needs that attention. A lot of people, you know, they don't care what kind of attention they get. They just want something. Throw rocks at me. Hit me with a hammer. Pay attention to me. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah, just for attention. And then, like, they don't care that people are going to hate them.
No, what do they care? It's attention. You know?
But wouldn't you prefer a little bit more positive attention? Like, at least neutral?
You and I would. We're normal.
Right. They don't care.
Yeah, well, at least for baseline normal, I guess. See, you and I are never going to have that problem.
Oh, well, me, forget it. I have a large lesbian audience, so everything I say gets scrutinized. Don't worry. Even my breathing. I have to make sure that everything I say is perfectly...
Yeah, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to have that problem.
No. No, I think, and, you know, straight guys are so easy on me, you know?
Well, you're so easy. I mean, it's just like, yeah. Everything was cool until she started saying my girlfriend was good looking. And I can...
You've been great, Danny. Reap.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Well, so thank you for tuning in. I let this show be longer so to make up for the lack of a show a couple weeks ago. So I hope it wasn't too long. I hope we didn't, you know, overdo it. But then, you know, you could always come back and fast forward. And that's what's good about it being a podcast. But so thanks so much for tuning in. And we will be back again very soon. And if you need to find me or anyone else that you may need to speak with who has appeared on this show, you can get us on MySpace at The Lesbian Mafia Cast. And so that's it for now. What else? Is there anything else? I don't know. I feel like I'm forgetting something. No, there isn't. But so, okay. So we'll be coming at you again very soon. Love you guys. Ta-ta. Bye-bye.
Mama, can't you see I've always tried to please? I wore ribbons and jewelry and makeup and perfume and dresses down to my knees. You said that it's a phase, just something I'd outgrow. But I got a girlfriend and she's got a lawn that I'd sure like to mow. Go on and wish that Brad Pitt would come along, but I prefer Madonna in a lacy thong. And I'm a lesbian, I don't like nothing swinging between their legs. Yeah, I'm a lesbian, I don't know why God gave me eggs. When I have sex, it's fun and clean, and no man can jump in between. No, they talk behind my back and criticize my life, but I get no complaints from Lou Diamond Phillips' wife. And I'm a lesbian, I'd rather be with Jane than Dick. Yeah, I'm a lesbian, a penis doesn't do the trick. When we 69, I know her.
When does cheerleading practice start? Hey there, cutie.